This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with
The Priest
and The Poof, the show where we talk about sexuality and spirituality for our community. Well, welcome to the Spirit Lounge for another week.
Yes, and thank you to Michelle and all her crazy guests from Stand Up Straight.
Crazy guests?
Yeah, well, they sounded a bit crazy. Not that ours will be.
No, no. Who have we got tonight, Joy?
Well, we're going to talk to Matt Glover, Reverend Matt Glover, that probably most of you listening know. Matt Glover was used to be a Baptist minister, and he is no more.
No more? We'll find out what he's up to.
We'll find out why he's not the Baptist minister.
And we're also going to be joined in the studio by Adriana Real. Before we get onto that, though, let's kick it off with a little bit of Andy Sorensen.
Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. That was a bit of Andy Sorensen. He ended quite abruptly.
It did. Now, I believe I read on Facebook that Andy's moved back to Melbourne. Oh. I don't know how true this is.
Oh. You know what that means.
Well, I know what that means. Him. We'll have to grab him and get him to come into the studio. Andy, if you're listening, we're after you. Oh, and yeah. We will track you down and we'll drag you into the studio.
Give us a call, because we know that you do listen to our show every week, on 1300-JOY-949, or send us a text 0427-JOY-949, or of course email in onair@joy.org.au. Now, this coming Tuesday, in honour of the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's famous speech, Collins Street Baptist Church and Urban Seed have invited Adam Bandt, Jesse Taylor and Father Bob McGuire to share their own dream for this city and society. Here to tell us a little bit more about this exciting event is Adriana Reale, Engagement and Communication Officer for Urban Seed and Collins Street Baptist Church member. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge.
Hello.
Now, it's been 50 years since Martin Luther King delivered his I Have a Dream speech, which is quite famous. What was the context that this speech was delivered into?
Okay, well, the context was that, well, and still is really, that the United States of America is founded on the backs of slaves. And this speech happened in 1963, which is 100 years after Abraham Lincoln has signed a piece of paper that says that all slaves are to be given their freedom. But it's 1963, and that hasn't quite happened the way everyone thought it might. And so people are starting to get agitated and starting to gather together, and people have converged on Washington to fight for their rights. And so this speech is from Martin Luther King speaking into that context.
So we're 50 years on from then. Why do we need to host I Have a Dream?
Well, the cool thing about Martin Luther's speech and the reason why it's so historically momentous is that he didn't just name all the problems that were going on, and there were problems. But what he did was he actually gave people a vision, a dream of a future that he could see. And so he was saying things like, I have a dream that my children won't be judged by the colour of the skin, but by the contents of their hearts, and that little children in Alabama, black and white, will hold hands together. And that was his dream. And And we've been thinking that we need to be doing the same thing in our context, and not just naming the problems, because let's face it, that gets depressing after a while, but actually be envisioning our dream for this city and this society.
So they're pretty big shoes to fill. Yeah. How about how do you go about choosing speakers for an event like this?
Yeah, sure. Well, at both Collins Street Baptist Church and at Urban Seed, we have a dream for our city and our society, and that is to have a society where people are equal and are free to be who God made them to be. And so we thought of speakers who would really resonate with that dream. Adam Band is our local member, so we thought he should be able to speak into that. Jesse Taylor has done some amazing work advocating for refugees, and of course Father Bob has spent his whole life pretty much standing behind the poor and the oppressed, and so they were kind of obvious for us.
So Jesse Taylor, I mean, everyone's heard of Adam Bant and Father Bob McGuire, but tell us a little bit more about Jesse Taylor. He works in refugees. What's the background?
And yeah, sure. So she's a young woman, and I think her story is that someone twisted her arm and got her to come along to a detention centre. And once she was there, she just knew there was just something about that place and those people that she realised she had to dedicate her life to them. So she became a lawyer and has advocated on behalf of many asylum seekers. And as well as that, has created this amazing documentary where she's gone into detention centres in Indonesia and heard the stories of the people who were just trying to get to Australia. So a very brave person, met a 14-year-old Afghan boy while she was there, and is now, and then became his foster mum once came to Australia.
Sends shivers down my spine.
Yeah.
So do you think that all the speakers that you've chosen are going to say the same thing?
I hope not.
So is it going to be, how's it going to look like? Is it a bit of a discussion or a panel? Are people going to be allowed to ask questions?
Okay, so we've basically asked each speaker to give their own I Have a Dream speech. And then we'll...
How many minutes?
10 to 15.
Okay.
To be precise. And then from there we'll go into questions. And yes, there will be lots of opportunities to ask your own questions.
Wow. So get your note paper ready, Joy. We're going to go along and ask some curly ones.
Absolutely.
So why do you think it's important to hold such an event?
I think we need to have spaces in our society where we're allowed to dream, and we're not being weighed down and negative, but we're naming the struggles, we're naming the oppression that exists, but that we're actually painting a picture of what the future could be.
And whereabouts are you holding the event, and how can we get involved? Where do we need to be? At what time?
Okay, cool. So it's next Tuesday, 29th of October, 6 p.m. Rock up to Collins Street Baptist Church, 174 Collins Street, in the city. And that's my church, so I'll be there to say good day to you. Yeah, is that all?
Do they need to buy tickets prior to the event?
Just rock up. Yeah, it's $10 donation at the door, $5 concession.
So the donations kind of go towards the work of Urban Seed as well. So
that's exactly right.
That's good. That's amazing. I'm excited about it.
Are you going to go?
I think I might, actually. I think I might. I'll skip my swimming lesson for the night and go along.
This is way more fun than swimming.
Where Andrew could tell you about his dream of becoming an Olympian or whatever it is he's doing.
I might have a dream. No, I don't think I'm ever going
to
get to that level.
But it's good
I'm
to
in
dream.
The slow lane at the moment.
Okay, so it's next Tuesday night at Collins Street Baptist.
That's right.
Which is, in, funnily enough, it's in Collins Street.
It is.
And it's between Swanston and Russell Streets.
Right.
And what time was it? Andrew, this is a test.
Oh, I didn't write it down. 7:30, I want to say. Is that right?
Wrong.
Boop.
That's right. 6 p.m.
Yep.
You would have missed the whole thing, Andrew.
only 1.5 hours worth of it.
you would have got there in time for the food, which is also an important part of the event.
You didn't mention there was going to be food at this event.
And that the food is served by our very own Credo team, which is a group of people who are experiencing homelessness and other forms of disadvantage who have got together to do some catering.
We've interviewed about Credo and we've actually been to Credo, haven't we?
We have. They weren't serving when I was there, though.
No, there's no food. No. We could smell that someone
cooked a cake, but there's none.
So get along on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Connor Street Baptist. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Andrew and Joy. And if you want to send us a message, ask a question, tell us how wonderful you think we are. Well, maybe not.
You're most welcome to do that.
You can SMS 0427 Joy 949. You can phone 1300 Joy 949 or you can on air at joy.org.au. And now we're going to hear from Casting Crown. And this track is called Courageous. And this is for you, Matt Glover. Matt, welcome to Spirit Lounge.
Thank you, Joy. It's good to be here.
Now, for those who don't know you, I'm wondering if you could just give us a brief summary of how the heck you ended up here.
Look, there's lots involved, but just briefly, for 13 years I was a Baptist minister, still an ordained Baptist minister, and about this time 2 years ago it all started to get really messy. And the reason was, on the surface, my support for marriage equality, but underlying all that was my support for the LGBTI community as a whole, in the pastoral care work that I'd been doing, and things like, you know, gay people coming to my church. And
oh, heaven holding, help us
yeah,
not.
That's it, and holding hands and and wanting to take communion and all those sorts of things. And I was more than happy to welcome them and, you know, give them a hug as they turned up for church and things like that. So there was an undercurrent of fairly deep dissatisfaction and uncomfortableness. The church I was serving in at the time, semi-rural, so you know, not as progressive as some other Baptist churches closer into the city. And long story short, basically the church called a meeting and didn't actually vote me out of my position. They weren't able to do that. But indicated very strongly that they didn't want me there. So after that meeting, I resigned. And that was the end of my church-based ministry.
So where to from there?
There are a couple of months of rocking back and forwards in the corner and, you know, wondering what the heck I was going to do next, because as far as I had been concerned, that was going to be my life's work, being a minister in the church. So there was a lot of soul searching and what would I do next? And so in the end, I was seeing a psychologist at the time and he recognised that, you know, the skills that I had, the abilities that I had lent itself to helping people. And he suggested that I look into psychology. I did that, but wasn't actually prepared to do another 7 years of study. but with the background that I had and the study that I'd already done, I was able to do a master's in counselling. So I spent the next 12 months doing my master's. And now, as I sit here, I'm the director of MGA Counselling Services and one of the counsellors there as well. And, you know, it changes from week to week, but primarily, probably about 80% of our clients are from the LGBTI community. Or might be parents of LGBTI children, something like that. So that's what I'm doing now.
So how have you found people have come to know about MGA counselling?
There's a little bit of notoriousness or whatever the word is.
I mean, I do notice that I have adverts on my Facebook from
you
them
too?
On regular basis.
Yeah, look, we did a bit of research and the print advertising for counselling just doesn't cut it anymore. We tried an advert in one of the local rags for 6 months, didn't get a bite, do it for a week online and get lots of phone calls. So that's where we advertise most of the time. So people will get in touch with us through that. We've got signs around the place, people will see that. But primarily it's either word of mouth or it's we know that that pastor is supportive of the gay community. We don't agree with him or anything like that, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody that they love comes out and they'll come and see me.
So you often run courses?
Yes, yes.
Tell us a little bit about what sort of courses you run and what the response has been like.
Sure. Well, it's the MGA counselling services, there's three sections to that. There's the counselling, of course. Then there's a training component where, as you've just mentioned, we run training courses. And then there's a public speaking component as well, where I and one of the other associates, we go around and do public speaking at conferences and seminars to corporate groups, things like that. Different training courses that we're running at the moment, there's two main ones. One's mental health social support. So we're equipping people that don't want to be counsellors, but we equip people with skills to help people with that initial sort of help when they see someone struggling with a mental health issue. So it's almost like mental health first aid. So we do that. And the other course that we're running at the moment, which is primarily for counsellors, psychologists, teachers, nurses, is encountering the LGBTI community. And we spend the first week dispelling the myths that surround gay and lesbian people. The second week, we look at some of the common issues that you're likely to encounter. And then the third week, we talk about trying to avoid some of the common mistakes that people in the helping professions make when they're dealing with LGBTI.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. What sort of people have attended? I mean, I don't want their names.
I can give you names. No, I won't do that. We've run the course. I've run the course twice now. The first time I ran it when I was on placement, when I was doing my master's, and the director of the counselling centre knew my background and said, look, I think I know a number of counsellors that need to hear what you know. So I did it when I was on placement, had this really good feedback from that. So I developed it a little bit more, then ran it for the first time.
And you're on Spirit Lounge, and we're having a few problems with that Matt Glover recording.
I don't know how a computer can get hiccups. I'm not sure.
I think it's been drinking too much.
Maybe it has. Look, we've got a track coming up now. This one's called Butterfly Wings. It's by one of my favourite artists, Al City.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge. We're speaking with Matt Glover. Are there other things that you're working on that are for people who aren't in the helping professions, as you refer to it?
Yeah, look, there's a whole number of training sessions that we've got in the works. In terms of LGBTI stuff, there's the Homecoming Project that we've been working on, which hopefully will turn into a course, which will be early next year. But there's also some other things as well. One of the areas that I have been working on or in at the same time as doing my own counselling, it's been working in palliative care, which is doing counselling with people that have terminal illness and are about to die, and then doing the grief and bereavement counselling with their families once they've passed away. And one of the courses that we've been putting together is, it sounds a bit morbid, but it's helping people live well until their last breath. Because often when the diagnosis is given and the prognosis is given, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And there's a big bundle drop and we just wait around to die. And it's quite a tragedy because there's still months left to live. And so this course that we're putting together, I don't think there's anything else like it around, but we're wanting to get people with terminal illnesses together and their families together and say, right, how are we going to live life and live it to the full right up to the moment that you stop breathing?
What a difficult but rewarding thing you must be doing with the palliative care.
It's incredible. I love it. Absolutely love it. It does sometimes become very emotionally draining because, you know, you get to meet people at their most vulnerable. All the bull dust is stripped away because, you know, I've only got perhaps 3 or 4 months to live. Sometimes it's even less than that. It's only a matter of weeks. And so there's very deep questions asked, the spiritual type questions, the reflective type questions about life and how I've lived it and the legacy that I want to leave behind and things like that. And you get to see the real person, often in a way that you would never get a chance to see otherwise.
How do you show compassion but care for yourself at the same time?
Look, the compassion side of it, that kind of comes naturally for me. And so I don't actually have to work at that. But the caring for self is something that you have to be very intentional about. Because, you know, for the full 8 hours that you're there every day in the palliative care organisation, you're talking about death from the moment you walk in the door to the moment that you leave. And it can be quite heavy. So there's a lot of self-care that has to happen. You know, you make sure that you exercise, make sure that you're sleeping well, make sure that you're spending time with your family and your friends and having your other interests and things like that, and not letting work impact every moment of every day. The type of work that I do, it's very, very, very rare to encounter anybody that does it full-time. I do that work 3 days a week, and that's what balances up my private practice work. And I don't know that I'd want to do it full time either. It's one thing. There is a satisfaction there when you do help somebody live well right up to the very end, but there's always a little bit of your own personal grief, because this is someone that, you know, I've been walking with and working with, and now they've died. Whereas with the private practice stuff, you know, you see them go on and live life and live it well after that.
There seems like a little bit of a disconnect between the two arms of your business. Like, so on the one hand, you're really focused on the GLBTI community and helping out. And then on the other hand, there's a lot of talking about death and palliative care. Is there any link between the two?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody dies, including LGBTI.
Yeah. So, well.
There are some unique issues for LGBTI on palliative care programs, particularly with transgender and intersex people that, you know, perhaps have lived life the gender that they identify as, but when personal carers get involved and things like that, you know, they may not have had surgery, and when they are getting their body washed down and things like that, there's some awkwardness that's there, and there's some fear that's there. So, you know, there's a lot of education that happens in the palliative care organisation that I've been able to provide because of my background of working with the LGBTI community. But really, at the end of the day, all of it is about helping people live life well, regardless of how much life there is that's left. So if you have a terminal illness, you might only have 3 months left to live. Let's live that well. If you're coming to my private practice, you know, you might have 30 years left to live. But let's make sure we live that well.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge. We're speaking with Matt Glover.
If you want to join in the conversation, please SMS us 0427JOY949, or you can ring at 1300JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Poof and the Priest. And a big shout out to the Pom. If she's listening, we love you and miss you. And that was Mercy Me with the Hurt and the Healer. And now we're going to continue with the interview with Reverend Matt Glover.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge. We're speaking with Matt Glover.
Matt, you mentioned earlier about this homecoming project. Tell us a little bit more about what's happening there.
Okay, this is a project that's sort of been on my mind for quite a while and came to fruition earlier this year when Exodus International offered its apology to the gay community for what it had been doing for the 30 years before that. And I was really pleased to hear the apology, but I was also a bit distressed that they just shut up shop after that, because there'd been so much damage done that there didn't seem to be, in my mind, any effort to put some of that stuff right, or to avoid the same mistakes being made by other organisations in the future.
So Exodus is, just to backtrack a little bit, Exodus is the main organisation that is for, like, ex-gay so-called reparative therapies.
That's right. So I should have mentioned that. Exodus International has been around for about 30 years. It's a ministry of, I guess you'd say, the Christian church, but not the Christian church as a whole. It's been established by different arms of the Christian church and then has branches all around the world. And primarily its objective was to make gay people straight, basically, because that was seen as being more honourable to God.
And they essentially came out and said, actually, all the stuff that we've been working on is a total sham.
Yep.
And, and we're sorry about that.
And it doesn't work.
That's right. There was an acknowledgement that it didn't work, but not just that it didn't work, but the methods that they were using were causing untold harm, incredible mental health issues, lots of self-harm coming out of the program, or people that had done the program. The suicide rate of people that had been through the programs was quite high. Families were being torn apart because at some points, you know, really good parents were being blamed for their children's sexuality. You know, you've done something wrong to make them gay, when they'd been perfectly good, loving parents all along. And so families were torn apart. So, you know, lots of damage had been done. And
so by contrast, your project called Homecoming, how is that different?
Well, look, the tagline we give it is The Homecoming Project exists to affirm and celebrate LGBTI spirituality and sexuality. So coming at it from the point of view that there is nothing wrong about being LGBTI, and God actually affirms you in who you are, and in terms of your faith journey, you know, your sexuality is very much part of that. You don't have to deny it. You don't have to pretend it's not there. You don't have to pretend to be something that you're not, to be a faithful person. So this project is kind of the response to all the ex-gay stuff, but not just saying, no, ex-gay is wrong. It's presenting something that's better, presenting an alternative. So when we get it all together, at this point in time, you know, as we sit here now, we're still in the fundraising stage to get it off the ground. But when it is off the ground, it'll be a program that goes over a number of weeks, but looks at things like, you know, how scripture has been interpreted in the past, how equipping people to deal with some of the homophobic reactions that they get from friends and family, how to take friends and family along on the journey, how to establish resilient mental health, how to express your spirituality in a really healthy way, as well as connect people into a support network that can take that journey with them. So it's very much in the early days, but that's going to be the aim.
Is this going to be done through your counselling organisation?
Yeah, look, my counselling organisation will sponsor it. But there will be other people that donate and be part of it, and they'll be sponsors as well. But we'll run it.
Strikes me as a huge project.
Oh yeah, but you know, you got to start somewhere.
Look, aim high, Joy. You have to aim high.
So, in your spare time, what do you do?
Oh, in my spare time,
you come to Joy.
That's right, I come here. Yeah. Look, with Homecoming, The timeline's not locked down, but I'm hoping by July of 2014 we can run a pilot program here in Melbourne, and depending on the results from that, then try and run it annually in each of the states somewhere. It won't be me running them all, of course, so we'll recruit people to get on board and be trained and to run that. But I'm really keen that we have this alternative available Australia-wide, because I don't want... even though Exodus has closed, I don't want particularly young gay and lesbian people growing up in churches thinking, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with me. You know, who's going to help me here? And when they do their Google search, I don't want an ex-gay or reparative therapy to be the first thing that comes up. I want the Homecoming Project to be the first thing that comes up and sends the message that actually you're okay, there's nothing wrong with you. Let's learn how to celebrate your sexuality and your faith.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge. We're speaking with Matt Glover.
Are you still involved in a church, or where has that gone?
Yeah, look, we still go to a church. I wouldn't say we're involved in a church. I do speak at a number of churches, so it's difficult for me to go to the same church every Sunday. My family does attend a church. The kids are involved in the kids' program, that sort of thing. It's still very early days, though, in terms of our attendance there, and I'm not sure where they stand on some of these issues. Some of the feedback I get, or some of the looks that I get from some of the leadership makes it me think that perhaps they don't really like me there.
Oh no. You make it uncomfortable for them.
I think so.
Hopefully.
But, you know, that's okay. You know, it's, as I said way back, you know, when things first went south for us, when I was the minister, there's a lot of healing that had to take place. And, you know, so we're just taking it gently. We're not, you know, trying to stir up the pot too much. As a family, you know, I want it to be a safe space for my family for the moment. But if it does turn out to be a church that, you know, my LGBTI brothers and sisters can't come to, then we'll look for somewhere else to go to.
Can you just, when you are church shopping, can you just, like, walk in and say, where do you stand on these issues? Or is that not allowed?
Oh, you can if you want to. But, yeah, it's, well, the Baptist denomination that I come from, nobody is a spokesperson for the Baptist Church. Every individual congregation has its own beliefs about things, and then each individual within that congregation has its own beliefs about things. So even in the church that I left, while there was some very vocal, influential opposition, there was a lot of support there too. So when I left, there were a lot of people left after that. So, you know, you might walk into a church and say, right, where do you stand on this? And the person that asks you might be very affirming, for instance, but it might not be reflective of the leadership of the church.
And often there's not a lot of honesty. I went to a church and I went there on my motorbike in my leathers. So, you know, with my short haircut and my helmet under my arm. And I went, I'm a lesbian. Is it okay for me to worship here? because I thought I'd been thrown out of a church for being a lesbian. So I thought, well, okay, I'm going to ask up front. I don't want to waste my time.
What was the reaction to that?
The reaction was, that's fine. You're welcome to worship here. And for a period of time, that was fine. But then you get high meets on, so they used to be a lesbian, but God healed them. And they're now standing there looking totally miserable with their husband and kids.
Yeah.
You know, oh, there's a women's conference on, why don't you come? And so you go on your motorbike.
I should rock up on my motorbike.
That's not quite what they, what they expect. But, and they mean well, and they were caring, but there was always this underlying agenda. And that was, you know, and they used to use that statement, God made you and God doesn't make mistakes. And as when I left that church, I said, God made me a lesbian and God does not like make mistakes, so I'm out of here.
Hmm.
So, and it might be that, you know, Hillsong's come out and said, oh, you know, made statements about homosexual people in a positive light. But that doesn't mean all the other leaders are going to be like that. And this is a problem. And it might mean that you can be in that church, but you'll never be in a leadership role. So you'll never be able to express those gifts that you've been given because of your sexuality. So to me, that's still discrimination.
Mm. I actually say in the training course that I run, the Encountering the LGBTI Community, I do say to church leaders that, you know, it's no good just tolerating LGBTI people in your congregation. If you have the attitude that somebody who's a gay man, for instance, can't be a leader in the Sunday school or they can't serve in leadership on the church, it's better to say right up front before they even walk in the door that this is not the church for you. I think that's a more honest response. It's better for the gay man and his own mental health. He can say, right, I'm not even going to try here. You know, I can go somewhere else. I think that's a better response. I don't like that response, but I think it's more honest than kind of, you know, getting you in and then bombarding you with this sort of stuff that, well, you know, you can change really, can't you?
But you can't. No. But you can't.
And even Kevin Rudd would agree with that.
You're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the priest and the poof.
You are. And that was our interview with Matt Glover. And we have had a message from Rob, who says, Joy, you rock. He's got such good taste, this guy. He also said he's Andrew's not-so-secret admirer. But he's enjoying the show. We love you too, Rob.
I think he's got good taste. You know. I can't complain.
Joy 94.9.
And you've been on Spirit Lounge with the Poof and the Priest. And coming up next is Hide and Seek. Before that, though, we're going to hear from Mandisa with her track Stronger. It's Good Night from the Priest.
And from the Poof.
See you next week.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.